Imagine like opening your mailbox and finding a denial letter from a government agency.
Oh, that is the worst feeling.
Right. And fundamentally that you actually qualify for the benefit you applied for.
Yeah.
But the letter cites subsection 4, paragraph B of this massive 1,000-page regulatory manual.
Written in a language that barely even looks like English.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do you fight that? I mean, you could spend months studying the law, you could hire an expensive lawyer, or sadly, you could just give up.
Which is what a lot of people do, unfortunately.
Yeah, for millions of people, that bureaucratic maze is just a wall they simply can't climb.
Yeah.
But what if you had a translator who had, like, memorized that entire 1,000-page manual and could explain exactly what you needed to say to get approved?
That really gets to the heart of what we call the information gap. The system isn't necessarily designed to keep people out, but it is built on an incredibly dense, rigid framework. And if you don't speak the exact language of that framework, your application or your claim or your appeal, it just gets lost in the gears.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We were looking at a manual by Patrick Thomas. It's called AI for Veterans: Better Understand Benefits, Healthcare, and Government Services.
It's a great resource.
It really is. And our mission today is to explore how ordinary people are using everyday artificial intelligence to basically hack the most frustrating bureaucracies in the country. We're going to discover how you, the listener, can use this technology to close that information gap in your own life.
Yeah, and we should be clear right out of the gate, we are not talking about like sci-fi AI that's going to take over the world.
Right. No killer robots here.
No, not at all. And we're not talking about some multi-million-dollar enterprise level software either. We are talking about practical, everyday consumer tools.
Like ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini.
Exactly. Programs that are free or maybe cost a few dollars a month, running right on your standard smartphone or laptop.
It's crazy how accessible it is.
It is. These are tools that are fundamentally shifting the balance of power between the individual and the bureaucracy.
But, getting people to realize that accessibility is actually half the battle. Before we can really hack the bureaucracy, we have to understand what the tool actually does and what it doesn't do.
Right.
There's this story in the book about a Navy veteran named Frank that just perfectly illustrates the mental hurdle people face here.
Oh, Frank's story is classic.
It really is. So Frank spent 22 years as a machinist's mate in the Navy. He worked on nuclear reactors.
So dealing with complex, high-stakes, highly technical systems was literally his day job.
Right. You'd think he'd be the first person to just embrace a new tech tool. I mean, he spent his whole career troubleshooting million-dollar equipment under immense pressure.
And writing incredibly detailed maintenance logs.
Exactly. But when his daughter suggested he use AI to help figure out his Veterans Affairs hearing loss claim, he completely balked. He thought he needed to know how to code or, that it was some complicated software suite meant for developers.
Which is such an incredibly common assumption. I mean, we hear the phrase artificial intelligence and we immediately picture something that requires an advanced degree just to turn on.
Yeah, but his daughter simply opened a browser, navigated to Claude, typed a question about VA hearing loss claims, and just read the answer.
Just like that.
Yeah, and Frank watched the screen, and he asked her to type in a question about tinnitus ratings. And 2 hours later, he was still sitting there having a back and forth with the machine.
His realization there was completely profound in its simplicity.
He realized he could just talk to it.
Exactly. You just talk to it.
Yeah.
And that realization is the mechanism that unlocks the entire process. Because to understand why this works, you have to look at how these large language models are actually trained.
Right.
This software has essentially ingested massive amounts of data. So, in the context of veterans' benefits, it has processed the Federal Register, Title 38.
Which is the massive regulatory rulebook for VA claims, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. It's read decades of legal briefs, published appeals decisions, medical journals. It is essentially an insomniac librarian who has memorized every government document ever written.
I love that analogy. Let's expand on that librarian metaphor because it is so crucial. If I walk into a library and just yell, "I want a book on history," the librarian is going to give me a million options.
You're not going to get what you want.
But if I ask for a book on the economic impacts of the Civil War in the 1870s, I get exactly what I need.
What's fascinating here is how the real value isn't the first prompt, but the follow-up questions. The AI has the entire library in its database, but it relies on your specific prompts to pull the right information off the shelf.
Okay, let me stop you right there, though.
Sure.
Because if we're talking about prompting the AI with specific details about a VA claim, we are inevitably talking about medical histories. And I am immediately stressed thinking about someone typing their social security number and, like, a list of their psychiatric medications into a public web server. Isn't that a massive data privacy disaster waiting to happen? Should veterans really be uploading their private records to a chatbot?
No, they absolutely should not. That would be a huge security risk, which is why the operational rules we talk about are so strict. You never input personally identifiable information.
Never.
Never. No social security numbers, no VA file numbers, no secure logins. And you definitely do not upload your complete unredacted medical records. It is for understanding the system, not storing your identity.
Then how does the tool give you personalized advice if you can't give it your personal details?
You use abstraction. You basically summarize your situation. So instead of uploading your medical file, you would type, I served in the Army from 2004 to 2008. I deployed to Iraq, and I currently suffer from chronic lower back pain and ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
And then you ask what specific regulations govern how the VA evaluates these conditions and what kind of medical evidence is typically required.
So you're asking the AI to explain the rule book based on a hypothetical scenario that just happens to perfectly match yours.
Exactly. You extract the knowledge without sacrificing your identity.
That makes a lot of sense. So we're essentially using it as a translator for the hardest language on earth, government bureaucracy.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's look at how this plays out with the actual VA claims process, because it is notoriously difficult to navigate. There's a story of Marcus, a veteran who did two tours in Iraq with the 82nd Airborne.
Right, and he worked in logistics, so he was no stranger to Army paperwork or endless forms.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yet he spent 7 years fighting the VA over a back injury he sustained in Fallujah, along with severe tinnitus.
7 years?
7 years of filing claims, getting denied, filing appeals, and waiting months just to get another letter saying he didn't provide the right evidence. Finally, a younger veteran at a local veteran service organization, a VSO, told him to try AI.
And this is where it clicks.
Yeah. Marcus goes home and asks the AI to break down the VA rating criteria for lumbar spine conditions under CFR Title 38.
And this is where we really see that information gap in action. Think about how a person naturally describes an injury to a doctor. A veteran will say, my back hurts all the time, I can't sleep, and it hurts to pick up my kids.
Which is plain English. That's how normal humans talk.
Right. But the VA is legally bound to evaluate claims based on rigid functional limitations. They don't rate pain. They rate range of motion.
So the veteran's telling them how much they hurt. But the VA rater is looking at a form trying to figure out if the spine flexion is limited to 30 degrees or 60 degrees.
Precisely. The veteran and the bureaucracy are speaking two completely different languages, and perfectly valid claims just fall right into the gap between them. So when Marcus asked the AI to explain Title 38, the AI translated the VA's legal requirements back into plain English. It literally told him, the VA needs to know if your forward bending is limited to a specific degree, and they need to know if you have incapacitating episodes that require bed rest prescribed by a doctor.
It just gave him the grading rubric for the test.
That's exactly what it did.
And armed with that knowledge, he knew exactly what to ask his doctor to document. 4 months later, he finally secured the 70% disability rating he'd been fighting for since 2016. And he didn't even have the AI submit the claim for him. He just used it to understand what the VA actually needed to hear.
And we see an even more profound translation effect with something called secondary service connections.
Right. Explain that.
So many veterans have conditions that didn't happen during their service, but were caused by something that did.
Okay. Like the story of James from the book.
Yes. Perfect example. He suffered from severe sleep apnea, but because he didn't go to the clinic for it while he was active duty, the VA denied his claim. It just wasn't in his service records.
But he used an AI tool to explore his options, and he discovered that sleep apnea could actually be claimed as a secondary condition to his service-connected PTSD.
Right. And the mechanics of a secondary connection are crucial here, because it's not enough to just say, I have PTSD and I have sleep apnea.
You have to prove they are linked.
Exactly. You have to provide a medical nexus. And the AI can point out medical research showing that, for example, medications commonly prescribed for PTSD can cause significant weight gain.
Which then physically exacerbates or triggers obstructive sleep apnea.
Yes. By understanding that causal chain, James knew exactly how to ask his doctor for a nexus letter linking the two.
And it completely alters a veteran's financial landscape. Look at Teresa. She had a 10% disability rating for a bad knee she got in the service. And she just dealt with it for 11 years.
11 years of walking on a bad knee.
Yeah. And by researching secondary connections, she learned that 11 years of walking with an altered gait to protect that knee had systematically destroyed her hips and her lower back.
So she filed a secondary claim.
She did. She filed for her back and hips, linking them to the service-connected knee. Her rating jumped from 10% to 50%,
right,
which more than quadrupled her monthly compensation.
Which is life-changing.
It is. But here's where it gets really interesting. Let's pause here, because the math behind these ratings is incredibly confusing.
Oh, VA math.
Yeah, VA math. If I have a 50% issue and a 30% issue, I have 80%, right? Can't AI just do the math? I mean, if Teresa had a 10% rating for her knee and she got a 40% rating for her back, wouldn't she just have 50%? How does the VA actually calculate these percentages?
It is notoriously baffling if you try to use standard edition. You can't just add them up.
Why not?
Because the VA uses what they call a combined ratings formula, and it's based on a whole person concept. Let me break down the mechanism.
Please do.
Okay, imagine you are 100% healthy. If you receive a 50% disability rating for your back, the VA considers you 50% disabled and 50% healthy.
Okay, that part is simple enough.
Right. Now, let's say you get a second rating of 30% for your knee. You do not add 30 to 50 to get 80. The VA applies that new 30% disability only to the remaining healthy part of your body.
Wait, so it's 30% of the remaining 50%?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And 30% of 50 is 15. So you take your original 50% disability, add the new 15%, and your actual combined rating is 65%.
That is insane. So as your rating gets higher, your remaining healthy percentage gets smaller, meaning every new claim adds less and less to your overall total. Mathematically, getting to 100% is incredibly difficult.
It requires a massive amount of cumulative disability. I mean, even seasoned advocates have to consult complex tables to do VA math, and this is perfectly suited for a large language model.
I can see why.
Yeah, a veteran can just type, I have a 50% rating for condition A, a 30% rating for condition B, and a 10% rating for condition C. Walk me through the combined ratings math step by step.
And it just does it.
It will calculate all the whole person deductions and explain exactly how the VA arrives at the final number.
That removes so much mystery from the process. But, you know, understanding the rules and doing the math is only part of the battle. You still have to communicate your personal reality to the government or even to a civilian employer. And this is where drafting and structuring come into play.
It's all about the power of words.
Exactly. Let's look at the compensation and pension exams, or CMP exams. These are the medical evaluations the VA uses to determine how bad your condition actually is.
And preparing for a CMP exam is psychologically difficult for a lot of veterans because military culture is deeply, deeply rooted in pushing through pain.
Right. Suck it up.
Exactly. If a medic asks how you're doing, you say you're fine so you can stay in the fight and not let your unit down.
But if you carry that suck it up mentality into a VA exam, you are actively sabotaging your own claim.
Oh.
If the doctor asks how your knee feels and you just say, oh, it's fine today, they will document that your knee is fine.
The bureaucracy doesn't read between the lines. They read the exam notes. So there's a veteran named Ray in the book. He was preparing for a CMP exam for his knee, and an advocate advised him that he needed to describe his worst day, not his average day.
Which is hard to do.
It is. So Ray spent a couple of hours with an AI asking it what the examiner would actually be looking for regarding a knee injury. And the AI outlined the specific flare-ups, the impact on climbing stairs, the stability issues.
It gave him the vocabulary.
Yes. By reviewing this, Ray essentially trained himself to honestly and accurately describe his worst symptoms. He stopped minimizing his pain, and his rating was increased to 60%.
That's amazing. And we see this translation power completely outside the VA system as well, particularly when military personnel transition to the civilian workforce. The story of Carlos is a prime example of this.
Oh, the logistics guy.
Yeah, Carlos was an Army logistics non-commissioned officer, an NCO. He sent out resumes for 14 months and got zero traction. Why? Because civilian hiring managers don't speak military.
They really don't.
Hmm.
If you put 11B fire team leader or 68W NCOIC on a resume, an HR representative at a civilian logistics company has absolutely no idea what that means.
Exactly. For context, 11B is infantry and 68W is a combat medic.
Mm-hmm.
You write infantry on a corporate resume and the hiring manager just pictures a guy carrying a rifle.
Oh.
They don't see the underlying leadership or management skills.
Right.
So Carlos spent an evening feeding his military evaluation reports and his jargon-heavy daily tasks into an AI. He asked it to translate those duties into standard civilian corporate terminology.
Because the underlying skills are identical, but the vocabulary is entirely different.
Suddenly, his resume didn't say former Army Logistics NCO. It's a logistics operations manager who directed a cross-functional 47-member team and maintained 100% accountability of $4.2 million in assets under high-stress conditions.
Boom.
And he got a job offer in 3 weeks.
It's the exact same experience, just translated into a language the hiring manager actually understands and values.
Okay, let's unpack this, though. Because if the AI is this good at taking raw data and turning it into these perfectly polished, highly structured essays and resumes, why not just let it write your personal statements for the VA?
Oh.
I mean, if I need to submit a letter explaining how my back injury affects my life, mm-hmm. and the AI knows exactly what the VA wants to hear, isn't it basically a highly advanced thesaurus?
Yeah.
But isn't there a danger here? If AI writes a flawless, robotic-sounding personal statement, won't the VA flag it or reject it?
This raises an important question about the ethical boundaries of AI assistance versus individual authenticity. It's one of the most stark warnings in the book.
Which is?
The golden rule. AI drafts, you own. You can use it to outline the statement, you know, to ensure you hit all the necessary regulatory points. But you cannot let the AI fabricate or exaggerate. You cannot let it write fiction.
Because the VA cross-references everything.
Intensely. When a VA rater reviews your claim, they are looking at your personal statement right next to your service medical records and your CMP exam notes.
So they see the whole picture.
Right. And if you use AI to generate a flawless, dramatic essay claiming you haven't been able to walk upstairs for 5 years, but your medical file shows you told your primary care doctor you ran a 5K last month.
Oh, boy.
Your credibility is instantly destroyed. Inconsistencies sink claims. The AI is a structuring tool to help you organize your genuine truth, not a ghostwriter to invent a better story.
That makes total sense.
No.
So the tool helps you navigate the federal system, whether that's the VA or civilian employment. But solving the federal puzzle often leaves an entirely separate layer of bureaucracy completely untouched, the state and local governments.
Yes.
Getting your VA rating is really just the first step because federal and local databases do not talk to each other.
This is perhaps the biggest blind spot for most veterans. They fight the VA for years, finally get their disability rating, and assume the process is over. They have no idea what benefits are hiding in plain sight at the local level.
There is a staggering example of this with Robert, a veteran living in North Carolina. He was officially rated as 100% permanent and total disabled by the VA.
Which is the highest rating.
Right. And for 2 years after receiving that rating, he continued to pay his full property taxes. He simply didn't know that his state legally exempts veterans with that specific rating from paying property taxes.
He bled thousands of dollars simply because the VA didn't call the North Carolina tax assessor to notify them of his status. The burden of discovery was entirely on him.
And then there's Gary, a Vietnam veteran, who decided to ask an AI about local benefits. In 3 minutes, the AI analyzed his specific county and state. It found out his county offered a property tax freeze for seniors, his state offered free college tuition programs that his adult son could use, and his local municipality had a veterans treatment court diversion program.
All in 3 minutes.
He didn't even know these programs existed.
Because trying to find those programs manually is an exercise in pure frustration.
I compared local government websites to a massive, unorganized digital junk drawer. You know the exact battery you need is in there somewhere, right? Buried under old receipts and rubber bands, but good luck finding it without a flashlight.
That's exactly what it's like.
You can spend hours clicking through broken links on a municipal website. The AI is like a high-powered flashlight that illuminates exactly what you need in seconds.
It is incredibly efficient for research. However, while we are talking about using AI to uncover resources and solve problems, we have to clearly define its limits, particularly concerning mental health.
Yes, very important.
The technology has a hard boundary here. The book is very firm on this disclaimer.
The AI can help you calculate your disability math, but it cannot be your therapist.
Exactly. It cannot diagnose PTSD, it cannot treat depression, and it cannot manage trauma. Now, there are specific AI applications, like Wobot, which do have clinical evidence showing they can be a useful supplement for daily stress management, acting almost like an interactive journaling tool.
Right, but they don't replace human care.
No, they do not possess continuity of care. They don't remember the nuances of your emotional state from week to week the way a human clinician does. And crucially, they cannot assess suicide risk. They absolutely do not replace the Veterans Crisis Line at 988.
988, press 1. It is a line that cannot be crossed.
Exactly.
And speaking of threats to the veteran community, there is a much more malicious problem lurking in this landscape. Veterans are heavily and disproportionately targeted by financial predators.
The statistics on this are deeply troubling. Fraudsters specifically target veterans through fake veterans service organizations, or they engage in what's called pension poaching.
Right. Explain pension poaching.
This is where predatory financial advisors convince older veterans to move their assets into terrible high-fee trusts just to make them look impoverished enough to qualify for a low-income VA pension.
Which locks up their money and completely ruins their financial flexibility.
It's awful.
But this leads me to an unsettling thought. If AI is this incredibly powerful tool for navigating systems and generating compelling text, aren't scammers just using AI to become better at targeting and defrauding veterans? I mean, writing better phishing emails, building more convincing fake websites?
They absolutely are. The barriers to entry for creating a sophisticated scam have dropped to zero because of AI.
That's terrifying.
It is, but you can flip that dynamic. If we connect this to the bigger picture, knowledge isn't just power here, it's financial armor. The same tool the scammers use to build the trap can be used as your ultimate defense mechanism to dismantle it.
Okay, how do you use it defensively?
By verifying every single claim. If someone contacts you claiming to be a VSO and offers to speed up your claim, you don't just trust their website.
Right.
You go to your AI and ask, how do I verify if a representative is officially accredited by the VA Office of General Counsel? And the AI will give you the exact federal database link to check their credentials.
That's brilliant.
You can also ask the AI to identify common red flags for claims companies. It will immediately tell you that any organization charging an upfront fee to file an initial claim is likely predatory because legitimate accredited VSOs are legally required to do that for free. You use the AI to build a moat around your finances.
It provides the situational awareness you need to confidently spot a scam and just walk away.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? Taking a step back and looking at the entire landscape, whether you are listening to this right now as a veteran, a caregiver, or just someone trying to untangle a frustrating healthcare or legal issue, the overarching lesson is really profound. The information gap that has kept everyday people at the mercy of complex bureaucracies is rapidly closing.
Yes, it is.
You don't have to be a victim of bureaucratic complexity anymore because the tools to translate the unreadable are readily available.
It represents a fundamental shift in agency. The individual now has the analytical power to advocate for themselves on an even playing field.
And that leaves me with one final provocative thought. We've spent this entire time looking at how everyday individuals like Frank Machinist or Carlos the Logistics NCO are using consumer AI to decode these incredibly dense government systems.
Mm.
But if citizens can use a basic language model to instantly prove they qualify for a property tax exemption or the secondary service connection, how long will it be until the government bureaucracy itself is forced to evolve?
Oh, that's a great question.
Imagine a future where the government uses this exact same technology, not to build taller walls or print denser manuals, but to automatically scan federal and local databases, identify the hidden benefits you've earned, and grant them to you before you even have to ask.
Now that is a deep dive for another day.